Hello, everyone. I'm Edward Morales, client partner at Cinzi. Let me start by saying we appreciate you taking the time to join us for today's Cinzi Spotlight. I will moderate today's exclusive discussion on the impact of secure messaging on improving care coordination and reducing hospitalizations. Our esteemed featured guest today is Q. Ruben Iguiban, the CEO and owner of Genesis Home Health and Hospice. He is joined by a few of his team members, Amber, Annette, and Marcella, for this discussion. We're excited to have Q. Ruben and team take the time to be with us to share their insights today. This spotlight is being recorded, and the recording will be sent to everyone within the next few days. And for those who have joined us live today, just a note that all participants are muted. So if you do have questions, please use the Q&A tool in this webinar platform, and we'll respond to the questions at the end of this session. So, Q. Ruben, let me first turn it over to you to understand more about Genesis Home Health and Hospice and what areas you're providing care in today.
So thank you. Thank you for having us and my team here. So Genesis was founded in 2004. So we've been in this business, this industry for 17 years. We're going to be celebrating our 17th year anniversary in the next couple of weeks, June 14th. So we have three locations now. Elko, where I'm at right now, where my team's at, is our corporate headquarters. And then we have an office in Winnemucca, Nevada, which is 125 miles west of Elko. And then one office that we opened in 2012, that's the Ely office. It's about 300 miles south of Elko. That's actually closer to Vegas than Elko. So our niche is sort of the rural areas. We're pretty much in the heart of rural Nevada. Some of our patients are like 100 miles from the nearest hospital. So we're glad we're still here after 17 years.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And just in looking through this, you know, just the slide here and some of the accolades, obviously extremely impressive. We deal with a lot of organizations nationwide here. So congratulations, not just on being around 17 years, but obviously doing it, you know, with extremely high star ratings and looking at the consistency here. So congratulations on that. And again, even more so why we're extremely excited to hear from you and your team today on a very, very relevant topic, which is messaging, secure messaging, compliance, things like that. So with that, you know, we can go ahead and jump right into it. I know, you know, again, for those who are in attendance today and listening in, a lot of times we like to say it's almost a gateway. When you start thinking about secure messaging, a gateway into communication technologies, and really being able to kind of enhance that experience, not just from a staff-to-staff perspective, but with the patients, with caregivers, et cetera. And so having said that, I think these topics are you know, extremely relevant, but I know we hear quite often what it takes to really kind of enhance that communication experience. And again, this being the gateway for that, I think it's extremely relevant. And so we're excited to hear kind of your take on how you came to this point where you're at today with Cinzi. And obviously, we'll jump on into where you guys are looking to take the communication in the future. So with that, you know, we will be covering, as you can see here, a variety of topics, including how your staff utilizes secure messaging, the role it plays in care coordination, obviously. Measured results and how secure messaging helps with staffing and even equally as important, strengthening referral relationships. So what I'll do here is I'll go ahead and open it up and start here at the, you know, let's begin with secure messaging and how it's being utilized at your agency today.
So I'm going to have Marcella answer that. She's our home care coordinator. But before we start, just to let the people in this spotlight webinar know that we utilize secure messaging in almost every part of our operations as a home health and hospice agency. We have thousands, I think 4,000, 5,000 secure messages in a month. Since it's actually not our first secure messaging app, but that app, the vendor that we had before has secure messaging only, but our team wanted something more. And I was actually intrigued with Cinzi. I saw a demo when I was at the NAC conference a year ago, the virtual conference last year. And it just, Cinzi platform just offers so many communication options, like a video call, emails, text messaging. And with the COVID-19, it was just a big opportunity to use Cinzi to reach out, to connect with our patients and get them more fully engaged with their healthcare. Aside from, you know, the secure HIPAA compliant messaging, it has virtual visits, it has remote patient monitoring, it has condition specific messaging like CHF, CLPD pathways, clinical care pathways, and customized assessments for or patient surveys. So Cinzi is an all-in-one virtual care communication and has brought us our return of investment on Cinzi. As far as I know, is I think something like 27%. So it's been a big tool, a big help for our operations. Marcella, can you give them some examples of how we use Cinzi?
Of course, thank you, June. So I am the home care coordinator for Genesis, and we cover a very large area. And our clinicians are spread at least 100 miles away most days. So I use it to coordinate the care with our clinicians from the home health aides, nursing, PT, OT, the hospice physician. It's an essential part of how I do my job. I don't think I could do my job without this messaging system. It makes my job so much easier. It draws the clinicians. We have individual groups for patients with like several clinicians involved, different fields of professions. And so they can coordinate the care for the patient. It makes it a lot more streamlined for the clinicians to be able to know in real time what's happening with that patient. If there's a problem with the patient, the clinicians can chat together, and that information is shared with all who need to know instead of, you know, struggling for days on end. So that really helps our care coordination. I use it to coordinate care, to help decide if the patients need more care or continue their care at the end of an episode. When there's a new patient, I send out messages. The clinician that sees the patient for the start of care sends out a group message to the staff, letting them know the patient was admitted, any particulars, unusual things about the patient, what type of services they're going to need, how often they're going to need them, that kind of thing. It's just a very essential part of our how we do business with our clinicians and our patients.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Marcel. It's extremely helpful in understanding from your perspective what it looks like today. Now, what I'd like to do is just kind of take a step back. So for those listening in, clearly you guys have efficiency set up in place. You talked about care coordination. You talked about different services. You talked about when and where you would need to pull in kind of as a group effort in having clinician-to-clinician dialogue. All those things extremely important. If we were to take a step back, and for those listening in today, and think about how you came to a point to kind of, you know, start by starting, what did that look like in the beginning? And then as opposed to what all is entailed today? So where did you start?
Before Cinzi or when we got Cinzi?
Oh, no. With Cinzi, as from a secure messaging perspective in starting to use that, did you guys just make the decision to go with all those different kind of avenues on utilization? Or was there anything that was primary? And then as you got to use it, maybe, you know, something became, you know, equally as relevant as time went on?
I think when we started with Cinzi, it took a bit to get all of the different groups set up. And, you know, as we've gone along with Cinzi during this year, you know, we've added more users and, you know, added more like categories or, you know, staff meetings and that kind of thing. Especially during the COVID, we did, you know, meetings through Cinzi. So yes, it was very helpful.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. And that is helpful. So a lot of times we hear, you know, how do you start? What does it look like? Things like that. So as to not be overwhelming, it sounds like you guys, you know, made a decision to start somewhere using it clinically with that communication and staff to staff. And now obviously it's expanded to, you know, you're using it to supplement different areas of communication gaps. And so right. Very good. So we appreciate that. Thank you for elaborating more. So with that, when we look at, you know, the role of the patient, you know, in patient care and care coordination and some of the things or circumstances, can you give us examples, an example or two of what that looks like specifically and how exactly you go about communicating and working back and forth with the patient care and care coordination?
So one example, we use it a lot for our hospice patients. As you probably know, you know, hospice patients tend to change quickly. So we use the Cinzi to contact our hospice director so we can get new orders in place, you know, keep her updated and the changes of the patient. It makes a big difference. I mean, something that used to take, you know, a day or more takes an hour or less to get going, to get new medications sent, to get the patient comfortable again.
Yeah, that's a great example. And I think, you know, having an integral, you know, part of your organization's delivery of care and being able to create a seamless experience or more seamless experience, right, in that transition, you know, we hear obviously is of the utmost importance. And so when it came to, you know, obviously selecting something like that, can you talk about, do you use it via a laptop, a desktop? Are you guys using these on iPads? Yeah, what does that look like from a coordination perspective as far as devices go?
So I use it on all of my devices. I use it on my phone. I use it on my iPad. I use it on my desktop. I'd be lost if I didn't have it. So I just carry it with me everywhere I go. So,
all right.
Yeah, it's very versatile. Very
nice. Yeah, very versatile. Yeah, sometimes I know there's, you know, folks do from a clinical perspective have a preference one or another. And the truth is we like to say, you know, use what you have. and so, yeah. I too have multiple logins as well. And so, you know, shifting over a little bit here from the results from using secure messaging, if you were to kind of pinpoint a couple of areas that you guys have been able to see, I know one area, and I'll just kind of bring it back to light here, which was mentioned in the beginning here, the ROI somewhere around 27%, obviously a very good ROI. But we also know there's clinical, right? There's non, you know, numeric results by way of return, by way of communication, patient satisfaction, things like that. So if you could just talk a little bit, I'll just open it up here for the team. Any of the results that you could speak to from using secure messaging and kind of that direct correlation that you've seen from enhancing communication?
Annette, you want to take that? Annette is our director of clinical services.
Well, I know hospitalization has been reduced, so we're now below the national average, which is 7% for us. And we can actually do our documentation in real time so that we can communicate between one another. And it's more the clinical aspect of it is managed a lot more efficiently.
Right. Yeah, okay. So when you're talking about real time, so you guys have kind of a, you know, active roles, I guess, from one side to another, or maybe somebody back at the corporate office at home base, you guys are sending clinical communication securely back and forth for that real time transmission of clinical data. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, that's definitely that. And we can have a group message where we can actually set up between different clinicians as well as the patient.
Perfect. And so that brings something up here. I want to kind of open up a little bit more here for those listening in. You know, group messaging. So can we talk a little bit more about an example of that and when and where that's relevant for group messaging versus a one-to-one relationship in messaging?
Yes, we have our clinicians out there that are physical therapy, occupational therapy, the nursing staff, as well as the home health care aides as well, and then the office staff, so that we can all can get on it at the same time and be able to see where the patient is going, especially with our hospice patients, and we can include the physician on that call as well.
Yeah. Kiravin, you were going to chime in there?
Yeah, if I might add, so we all know Medicare has added coordination of care. It's actually one of our conditions of participation. So I think that that's another return on our investment, and it's compliance. You know, every time we get a survey, the surveyor always looks for evidence of documentation of care coordination. So it's just made our team work together. So instead of, the interdisciplinary team have works towards collaborative goals and coordinating the patient care in a proactive manner. So so every member of the team, whether you're a home health aide, you know, have an input, have a say on what's going on with the patient. Of course, we add the telehealth visit, the virtual care visits on our plan of care. And then everybody works out of that plan of care. But one thing that we've noticed a change in not only in our operations, but in our culture as well, is everybody has always has a say about the patient care. And I think that made everybody sort of accountable on every visits that they do and every point of contact that they do with the patient. And through the months, we're almost 1 year with Cinzi now, you know, it's kind of ingrained in our culture to be always communicating, working as a team. We talk to each other. We talk to the physician if there's any changes. While the clinicians are at home with the patient, we would always try to reach out and call the doctor, and it makes them happy too, satisfied with the care that we provide to their patients.
Yeah, and you bring up a couple of great points there, but one in particular I'd like to kind of peel back a little bit more is, you mentioned how it's ingrained in the culture, right, at Genesis. Now, you know, we can all agree here that that sometimes change is scary, right? Or new is scary, something that changes the protocols. And so let's just call that a given. And based off what we hear, right, across the spectrum, is there are in fact challenges in deploying, you know, a technical, you know, communication tool such as this. And you mentioned it's ingrained now in the culture. And so obviously that warms us to hear, but for those looking kind of at the first step in particular, in any sort of best practices that you could share in how you got to a point that it is in fact ingrained, you know, before you even add it to a plan of care, what is it exactly, or if you could just detail some examples of how exactly you got to a point to scale Cinzi, and how did you make it part of the culture?
So I think all our clinicians, they document on their tablets, and all of them have cell phones, have smartphones. So since Fizzy is so accessible, we have all our phones. So before Cindy, we would ask our clinicians to report. So they would actually call the office to give a report on a particular patient's condition or change in condition. So having Cindy on our phones, you know, sometimes it's I think our culture now, it's even our patients, they tend to ignore telephone calls now. But if you text them, especially our staff, I think it's faster, more convenient for them to text a report to the office. And even for the people, our managers in the office, like Marcella and Annette and Amber, who gets the call, the messages from the field, it's easier for them, or it's more, they're more attentive to a secure text messaging about a patient status, patient's condition, than phone call. So I hope I answered your question, Edward, but that,
you did.
How I think, you know, as we develop the habit, they say, when you do something more than 27 times, then it's a habit. So, you know, I think for the last almost 1 year now, we just can't live without the phones and without Cindy. I think that's what I was
trying to say. No, and I think you nailed it for I just speaking personally here, 27 times at least to catch on and get something new. So what I'm hearing is very helpful, by the way, because I know the folks on the call today are listening in and thinking, you know, how do you get started? How do you adapt? What does change management look like? Well, frankly, it sounds like you started from the top, first of all, as the owner and CEO, in making sure that you, in fact, believed in it and that you embraced it and you were 110% committed. Because what I'm hearing is you now have found how efficient it is, but you were committed to the change. And now that you've committed to the change, now it's just part of the culture, which again is fantastic to hear, because we know that's much more easily said than done, right? Because 27 is a good number there, so you have to stick to it. So that's very helpful. Thank you for elaborating on that. So let's shift a little bit here, and I want to talk about something that we hear from all aspects, really, of post-acute, and I can tell you. If there's one, topic that has come up on almost every spotlight that we've had, it's how to effectively address staffing issues, right? We hear it day in, day out. We understand, that's something that needs to be hit head on with, as you can see here, staffing shortages, productivity, retention, recruitment. I think that's all one and the same. It's delighting not just your patient, but also the staff member and the clinician. So if you could, either one of you, just explain or detail a little bit what that means as far as secure messaging and what the correlation looks like with kind of the quality for staffing and how that would specifically address staffing issues.
So, yeah, that's a very good issue, because everybody now, I think, are dealing with this staffing shortages. I think nurses are becoming to be an endangered species here in the United States. So number one, that's compounded with our big geographic area that Marcella and Annette has mentioned too. So we're actually dealing with a double issue here. So for us, instead of patients, instead of our clinicians driving, spend the whole day driving to see our patient 100 miles away, 75 miles away from Elko, we can actually see more patients, like see, quote unquote, virtually our patients. So we can have more touch points with our patient, and that involves that improves the patient satisfaction as well. So instead of driving time, our nurses actually can see more patients because in addition to the in-person visits, which most of the time we have patients that we see every other week or mostly like once a week. If we augment that with a virtual care visit through Zinzi's virtual care capability, then we can know more about the patient's condition, the patient's status, and so that's a plus for the patients. That's a plus for the agency for having good outcomes, since we have more touch points, more we can see them more, and then for the nursing part, for our clinician side, the therapist side, so they can provide care, see more patients, and have less driving time, less travel time. So I think that's the biggest advantage that we get.
Yep, less windshield time. And you mentioned, I think it was 100 miles was the quote I wrote down there, which obviously, geography-wise is a pretty substantial area. In addition to that, just having been, at or around that area, it's very sometimes isolated pockets and communities. And so I can imagine from kind of a nurse or staffing perspective and kind of being out in the middle of nowhere, or if there's something that's after hours or what have you, it sounds like it's been helpful in still satisfying the communication need while still not necessarily having to jump in the car, in the middle of the night, if it's unnecessary, right? If you could have this form of communication.
Right.
So great. And so it sounds like, not to jump into, a feature spotlight, but it sounds like definitely a relevant topic that you clearly are on top of. And many of those, I think we could have whole separate side conversations on the staffing shortages, productivity, retention, all of it. So endangered species, though, I haven't heard that yet, but but I wouldn't disagree. So, all right. So let's shift just a minute here of something that is of equal importance. And that's obviously thinking about referral sources, thinking about, when I think referral sources, I think your brand, right? I think long-term relationships that continue, for example, 17 years, and that continue on. And the reason you maintain those referral source relationships is, in fact, the quality and the strength of the relationship, which also includes, communication. And so if we could shift a little bit and talk about something equally as relevant, which is the communication that you have amongst your referral sources and what this means by way of maintaining those, obviously relationship sources.
So that will be Amber. Amber is our intake coordinator. And so she is the voice, the face of our company. She's our frontline person.
Perfect.
Thank you, June. First, thank you for this. I would have to say that with Zinzi, it helps tremendously with our referrals. Our first step when we get a referral is we call the patients and we introduce ourselves and we ask if they have a smartphone. That's to try to get them on board with Zinzi, so it's easier for us to communicate. So when our nurses go out to do the initial assessment, they look over the patient, they make sure everything is okay. And if an issue arises right then and there, that nurse is able to contact a medical doctor or contact back at this office, whether it be through video messaging, a picture taken, which I get quite often from the nurses. They'll send me pictures of wounds to upload into the patient's profile. But one of the main things that I personally like about the referral source and using Cinzi is it could be the weekend, or I could be out sick and I could get on Cinzi and see that so-and-so is coming from U of U, you know, they will be discharged this date. This is what's wrong. And so by the time I get to the office, I know that I have a case manager's name and number and I can call them, or Annette or Marcella or someone else is able to do that promptly and have that immediate rather than waiting. Sometimes it can take a day or two, especially if we're rushed in here or it's overloaded. So I think that that's a huge thing to have Cinzi to say, hey, this came in, because our nurses on the weekends, they're on call. So they're taking these messages from our referral sources and they're able to give it to us right then and there. So there's no, oh my goodness, when we come into the office in the morning,
right, you
know, five referrals sitting there waiting for us, but we have knowledge ahead of time. So I think that's pretty special.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I think it is as well. And that kind of ties into earlier, we were talking about the role in patient care and care coordination, because it sounds like from the onset, it is the expectation, right? And more so, I'll just take it a step back to branding. It is now also an extension of your brand, in which it's the quality of service and communication that is provided by Genesis, is what I'm hearing. But it starts on day one, and it starts with, you know, the starts of care is what I'm hearing, whether or not it happens after hours, weekend, what have you. So is there any direct, and you know, not to put you on the spot with a referral source, but is there any direct, you know, feedback that you receive from a referral source to say, hey, thank you so much for taking it quickly, you know, it's something that you're doing that's above and beyond, or anything like that?
I do get that often. Thank you for, you know, calling us back so promptly. We appreciate it. That happens. Yes, that does happen.
It does happen. Okay, great. Yeah. And not to dig into too much on the referral sources piece there, but I think it is critically important. Again, clearly you've stood out by way of your, you know, star ratings and the brand that you've built there in the last 17 years. But when you think also from the perspective of, you know, what makes Genesis so unique in handling of the patient from the onset, what I'm hearing is you guys start with the start of care. And then from there, that's kind of the precedent that is set moving forward. Going back to, you know, what Q Rubin said, which is essentially, you know, part of the culture that you guys have created in communication, is what I'm hearing there. So thank you for that, Amber. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
All right. So shifting again to something that, you know, when we talk about the future, you know, obviously we don't know where we're going unless we know where we've been. So we know what it sounds like what didn't work as well, because we're not the first communication tool that you had, right? So now that you have Cinzi, it's been part of what it sounds like the experience has been a positive one, and now part of the culture as you move forward here. So let's open up a little bit. Again, I talked about a gateway in the beginning, a couple of slides back, because we often hear that the starting point, how do you start by starting? Well, that's having a secure communication. Make sure you're compliant. Make sure you know you have all your HIPAA compliance in order, and then taking the next step of communication. So, how is it that you're looking to potentially expand the Cinzi secure messaging here in the future? I've already heard about clinician to clinician. I've heard, you know, clinician as far as, you know, patients go. I've also heard about photos and taking wound photos, which is a great example of how to use secure messaging for photos that will be uploaded into the EHR. Is there anything you can elaborate on how you look to expand this in the future?
So a couple of things, a couple of areas that we haven't, I think, maximized the capability of Cinzi. Number one, on the virtual visit. So we're still working on that. We have now the information. We have the patient's emails, the smartphone numbers. So I think it's just a matter of getting everybody signed up to have virtual care. And it can go with you know, getting their caregiver if they're not living with a patient, and they could be out of state, and we can get that call, get the caregiver, the daughter, the DPOA, to be involved with their loved one's care. We can also get involved the pharmacist for our hospice patients. So that's something that we need to explore a little bit more, get more patients signed up for virtual care visits. Number two is the remote patient monitoring that Cinzi is capable of. One thing I like with Cinzi is they don't have, because we had telehealth vendors before. As a matter of fact, Cinzi is our third one now. And the two previous vendors that we have, they have the equipment. So they have a hub, you know, that, and then they will provide the patient with let's say a blood pressure monitor or a pulse oximeter. But our problem then was when that patient gets discharged, then it's hard for us to take that those equipment out of the home. While for Cinzi, you know, we just need the patient to purchase a $20 or $30 Bluetooth blood pressure app, for example, and then. We can tie that in our Cinzi platform, and so we can closely monitor the patient's blood pressure, blood sugar levels. So that's one other thing that we need. We're planning to expand on. And then the third and last one is the condition specific management, the pathways, the care pathways, because Cinzi can actually send. And they have a library of disease-specific care pathways like CHF, COPD, diabetes, almost everything on the platform. And they're based, I think, from the American Heart Association, you know, care pathways. So that's, those things are the ones that we are trying to explore in the next few months.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. For those, again, looking at what different steps to take, right? What does the version 2.0 look like? And just starting with the most recent, which is example number three of remote patient monitoring, as you mentioned, that does, in fact, what Q-Urban is referencing there is, you know, simple Bluetooth devices that can be agnostic and are essentially tied to the Cinzi platform. And that organizations can use to receive the vital signs directly into a dashboard within Cinzi, and obviously look for the out of variance, right? Whatever is out of the normal range to be able to queue up, and then presumably jump in to start the secure messaging communication and the other facets of communication. So I think it's all kind of tied in what you've just mentioned as a version 2.0 of utilization of the features. And that's very helpful, again, for those listening in of how to start. And now that you've created a culture of that communication, what the next step is going to look like. And so one other piece I want to touch on, because this is something, it's critically important, you know, yes, in home health, but in particular in hospice, right? You know, loved ones don't live nearby. Geography barriers are always a key factor there. You know, son or daughter goes back home, you know, over to San Diego and aren't, you know, out there in their, those remote areas any longer, how do they communicate? And so you mentioned there, one of the key factors is looking to take the information that you already have, which is the smart information such as email address, you have cell phone numbers of caregivers, and being able to create kind of a bridge there for that communication with, for example, you know, the hospice patient. So right. When the patient goes back home, patient is at home and the family member or loved one goes back home, whatever that region is, outside of the area, being able to draw them back in to participate in the care process. And so something that we hear, but it's very helpful coming from, you know, an organization such as yours that that has been doing this, that sees this, and then obviously recognizes that opportunity. So before we get too far along here, kind of in wrapping up some of our topics, I have to open it up and ask, I'd be remiss to not, want to know myself and ask this question for the attendees. You have been in business a long time here, and you clearly are celebrating, a milestone of being in business and doing the right thing and obviously building the brand that you have. Can you just talk a little bit more about what you feel personally has contributed to the longstanding, business that you've been able to maintain and the milestone you've been able to hit here in celebrating the anniversary?
Oh boy, that's another webinar topic. But I would say the people. You want to add on that, Marcella?
Oh yeah. I've worked for June and his family for 8 years, and it is a wonderful place to work. He's very caring. He cares about the patients. He contributes a great deal to the community, not just through home health and hospice, but through other community activities. He's very much on hands with our staff and with our patients. He wants to know he makes it a pleasure to be around and to want to be here.
Not really, but if I might yes, add, really. when I say that the people, so my staff is golden, really. So we're in a small town, and I think we're in a service business. So our biggest marketing, I think, initiative is the service that we provide. And that's how it started. We started here in this area when there were two other agencies. And I think we're the only ones left standing now. And I think that's yep. because of the service, the quality of care that that this nurses, this therapist provide. And it's they always go an extra mile. I know that's a cliche, but that is truly what brought us to this point, Genesis. And I owe it to all the nurses, the therapists that we worked with for 17 years.
Yeah, and thank you. It's not actually at all off topic, because I think it's extremely relevant to the attendees and myself just listening in to how you guys have been able to implement change, how you've gotten your staff to wrap your arms around it. I'm listening to staff members saying how they embrace it. And what is truly unique is, again, having a longstanding organization such as yourself with the brand that you have and that you built and that you maintain this far along, looking at ways to be even more efficient, right, than you've been the last two decades, right? And so when we hear that, that's not an organization talking about status quo. And so I know there's attendees listening in right now, whether or not you've been in business for 2 years or whether you've been in business for 25 years, it goes without saying that you're continuously, as an example here, trying to push the envelope into the next level of patient satisfaction and as well as staffing satisfaction. And so I think that's extremely helpful, relevant. I know you say another webinar, but it is all tied holistically, one and the same, with how you've been able to accomplish this. So thank you for fielding the question and accommodating there.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. So with that, I'm going to turn it to some questions here from the group. Let me just check here shortly. And I'm not seeing questions from the audience. Just monitoring just to make sure. It looks like we're good. All right. Well, it looks like we've been a productive in building all of them. You guys have been thorough. I can say just on behalf of everyone who's attended, as well as myself, Q Urban and the team here, Amber, all of you have really given a lot of insight. A lot of clarity has been brought to light here. With how you guys have implemented, what exactly you've done to make yourself successful in positioning yourselves with the communication tools that we've just been fortunate enough to serve up. But it only works if you embrace it, right? Technology is only as good as those looking to adopt it and those looking to be consistent in the approach. So we appreciate that as well from us to you, I guess, on behalf of Cinzi. I'll say that personally. So, you know, in using this, we've talked about different examples. We've talked about where you've come. We talked about where you're going to, what the version 2.0 is going to look like, and those experiences. So we do thank you, you know, very much for the time invested. And really sincerely appreciate it. So with that, you know, today's session was sponsored by Cinzi. Please visit cinzi.com to learn more and sign up for a custom demo. Should you want to look at the next step or how we can support your organization as we have supported Genesis Home Health and Hospice. So with that, this includes our Cinzi Spotlight presentation today. And thank you for your time and your interest. And we'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.